All right, today we are starting a new sermon series. For the next few weeks, we're going to talk about different ways that we encounter God in our lives. And so today I want to bring to your attention a passage of scripture from the book of 2 Chronicles. So you got to go back into the Old Testament. And we're going to look at a time in the life of Israel when they were in need of God. And we're going to look at this story, but I want to encourage y'all to look at the entire chapter. We're going to sort of give you bits and pieces of it, and we're going to read only the first portion of it. But it's a great story about how God brings His presence to His people. And so I'll be reading 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." For a long time, Israel was without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. And when, in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought Him, He was found by them. This is the Word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, let me tell you why this particular teaching on God's presence matters to me so much. You see, I think that God's presence is the key to everything good in our life and our church. A spiritual growth, we know, happens through a synergy between the Spirit of God, the power of God, and humans. That when we work together, great and powerful things can happen in our life and in our world. You know, Jesus talked about this spiritual principle in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, when He says this in the analogy of the vine and the branches. Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you. For apart from me, you can do nothing." You see, the key to everything good is us abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us. That is the key. That is why God's presence is so important in our life. You see, when God shows up in a life, when God shows up in our home and in our church, we get clarity about who we are and clarity about who God is. We find our hearts get changed and transformed, that our faith grows and that Jesus gets glorified. That's why we're starting this series called Encounter. Because we believe that God is not distant, that God is not silent or uninterested in your life, but God desires to be known. Now, in this text from 2 Chronicles chapter 15, it captures a moment of spiritual renewal during the reign of one of Judah's kings. So at this point, Israel, the nation that was united under David, and Saul and David and early in Solomon's reign, is now torn apart. It is in two nations. And so Israel is a northern nation and Judah is a southern nation. And it's in Judah where the descendants of David continued to serve as kings. And King Asa is one of the kings, one of the great greats of David. And he's on the throne at this time. And Judah is in this spiritual drift away from God. The times are really dark, spiritually speaking. And God raises up a prophet like He does in a lot of moments like that, this prophet Azariah. And Azariah brings a word from God to begin to stir up the spiritual hunger of the people. Listen to what the message that God speaks through Azariah. He says, "The Lord is with you when you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you." And so that sentence, it frames this entire chapter and what Azariah is trying to encourage the people to do. He's basically saying, look, God hasn't moved. God has not changed. What has changed is you. You are no longer seeking God. And that's why God seems absent. You see, Azariah describes their condition, and it breaks our heart. Listen to what he says. He says, for a long time, Israel was without the true God. They were without a priest to teach them. And they were without the law or the word of God. So there's some key things that are absent in their drift. You know, they still had all this religious activity, though. I mean, they were very religious. The people were still visiting temples and altars and making sacrifices. The only thing was they weren't worshiping Yahweh, Israel's one true God. But they were worshiping idols. And God was not the center of all of this activity. You see, their worship had become hollow. They were just going through the motions. Discipleship wasn't happening. There were no priests teaching the people. They were not focused on the law, the word of God. They weren't engaging in studying God's word. You see, faith for them existed in form, but not in their daily pursuit of God. There was this disconnect. And so Asa, he hears the message of Azariah and he responds. He assembles the nation and he instructs the people to remove the idols. They break down the altars to these false gods and they repair the altars of Yahweh. And they gather in a covenant renewal ceremony. And Asa tells the people to seek God. And they turn. They turn towards the Lord. And when that happens, renewal begins in the nation. When they decide that they're going to seek God. Now here's this key tension that I want to lay out for us. About seeking God's presence. You know, seeking God's presence is not the same thing as seeking the feeling of God's presence. Now, I want to make a distinction between that this morning, because let me be honest with you for a moment. There was a season in my life that I think I got this wrong. You know, I came to pretty radical faith in Christ as a teenager. I became one of these super spiritual Christians. You know, I took my Bible to school with me every single day in high school, this big, thick, leather-bound Bible. And I would read it between classes, and I would try to talk to other students about the Bible. You know, I also listened to God's Word throughout my day. You know, back in the 90s, we had cassette tapes. And I actually had the entire Bible on cassette tape. It was like this big binder. And, you know, you'd have to pull out each tape for the chapters and all that, and I'd plug it into my Sony Walkman. I'd put my big fuzzy headphones on when I would go to work at the furniture factory. I was working on a shipping dock, so I was moving like sofas around all day long. And man, I would start listening to God's Word, and when I'd get out off work, I'd get in the truck, I'd take the CD out, and I'd pop it in, you know, and I was always listening to God's Word. We were also, in the 90s, we were caught up in this revival movement. And the house churches were a thing. And we were always going as teenagers, as groupies, from house to worship, wherever they were playing contemporary music. Because in my Methodist church, all we ever sang was hymns. And I wanted contemporary music. And so we were always going to where there was a party for Jesus. And we traveled the country, folks in our church, to all these different conferences and all of that sort of thing. Y'all, I was all in, like, all the time. It was pretty intense. And, you know, I was that person in worship that always had their hands raised. Sometimes I would cry, I would kneel and pray and do all these very dramatic things. And y'all, I felt God in my life. Like, I felt God's presence. When I prayed, it felt powerful. When we worshiped, it was electric. I felt God was really, really close in my life. And I found that I was always seeking that. But you know, something began to shift in my life. You know, call it schooling, call it responsibility, call it whatever. I don't know. My understanding of God began to grow beyond just seeking that spiritual high in my life. And life gets complicated, doesn't it? And it's not always on a mountaintop. You know, hard things happen. We go through challenges and things start shifting in our life. And I didn't feel God every time I prayed. I didn't feel God every time that I worshiped. You know, my faith became more complicated. And I started asking, how do I pray when I don't hear anything? How do I worship when God feels distant? How do I stay faithful when my emotions fade? And here's what I've learned. After serving God for over 30 years, seeking God doesn't always produce a feeling. And the absence of a feeling doesn't mean that God is absent. You know, Jennifer started off the service by talking about James 4:8, that draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You know, sometimes it is hard to draw near to God, but the invitation is always given to us. If you need God, if you're looking for God, then just turn. Seek Him, draw near to Him. And even in that spiritual darkness that the God's people were in way back in the 8th century, this invitation was still the same. The Lord was appealing, calling, pleading to His people, come to Me, seek Me. And so if God promises His presence, why don't we always feel it? You know, I think 2 Chronicles 15 helps answer that question. There are these three things that I see in this text of why seeking God is deeper than seeking a feeling. The first thing is this: seeking God is about relationship, not sensation, not feeling. You know, sometimes we over-sensationalize God's presence. We say it's supposed to feel like this, or you're supposed to react to it in a certain way. You know, we tend to look at the people who are raising their hands as like, oh, they're closer to Jesus. You know, they're really worshiping. And so we put a lot of emphasis on that. And there is, you know, there is something to be said about people trying to connect to God in an emotional way. But the generation during Asa's day, they didn't experience God doing sensational, miraculous things. They were not the generation that God parted the Red Sea for. They were not the generation where the manna fell from heaven and they would go out and gather it every day. They were not the generation that saw God's presence descend upon a mountain in fire and glory. They didn't see any of that stuff. They didn't see any of these dramatic demonstrations of God's presence. But notice what God promises to them. He doesn't promise them the fireworks or the goosebumps or the constant emotional highs. What does God promise them? He promises them Himself. If you seek Me, you will find Me. Not the feeling, but God. You know, in Jesus' day, the people were kind of struggling with the same thing. You know, Jesus was going around, you know, doing all this amazing stuff, performing miracles, and some people got to witness those and other people didn't. And so some folks come to Jesus one day and they're like, if you are really who you say you are, that you're the Son of God, then why don't you cause manna to fall down from heaven? Give us a sign, Jesus, just like you did our ancestors, just like God did our ancestors. You see, they were seeking a sign. Jesus, what sign will you give us? And y'all, we still ask that question sometimes to God. We say, God, prove that you're here. Show me, Lord, a sign. Make me feel something. But feelings are not evidence of God's presence. If you always felt God, then you wouldn't need faith. You know, the Bible says we walk by faith and not sight. We don't always see the miraculous. Sometimes living a life of faith just means taking the next faithful step toward God. And when we do that, what we find is that most of life is ordinary. That often God, though, will meet us in the ordinary rhythms. We'll experience His presence in a sunrise or a sunset or in a baby. Or we will turn to God in prayer and we will know that He hears us, that we have assurance of that. Sometimes we see God work in response to prayer. You know, there are doors that get opened. And you know, I was just a few weeks ago, I was praying for one of my sons who just graduated college and he was looking for a job. And you know, I was kind of desperate in my prayer. I was like, God, would you open a door for Landon to find a good job? And he went for an interview, and I was praying all day, Lord, I pray that this would work out, that this might be a place that he feels called to work. And sure enough, y'all, a few days later after that interview, he got a call with a job offer. And we're so excited for him. And I was like, God, thank you. You know, I feel like that God really opened that door. And it's not every day that we are able to see those things happen, but sometimes God does. Y'all, we open Scripture and we read something and it resonates with us. We hear a whisper, a nudge, a call, or we receive a word that gives us encouragement or direction in our life. And there's quiet obedience. And we just trust every day as we walk with God. Sometimes that's how we experience God's presence. You know, 2 Chronicles 15, it never mentions goosebumps, but it does mention seeking. Presence is relational before it's emotional. And so seeking God is about relationship, not seeking a feeling. And that's what God invites the people to do in this particular situation. You know, a second thing about seeking God may require removing what numbs our hearts. You know, this is a reality too sometimes. The problem in Asa's day wasn't that God had disappeared. The problem was God was displaced, that God was pushed away outside of people's lives. You know, the idols were multiplied. People were worshiping them. There was sin in their heart. They were neglecting the truth. And their hearts were on drift away from God. And that's what sin does, y'all. It calluses our hearts. It destroys our intimacy and fellowship with God. You know, Jesus talked about this too in Matthew 13. He says, he's quoting from the book of Isaiah, and he's talking about that generation. And he says, the people's heart has become callous. That's why they don't experience God's presence. Their hearts are calloused. You know, it's been cold outside, hadn't it? Y'all, it's been too cold. I need it to warm up. You know, when I go out in this cold, I find myself layering up. I put on the long sleeve. I like to wear my vests and my puffer jacket and the gloves and the hat. I put on the $20 socks. You know, I like to layer up because I don't want to feel the cold. I want to keep it out. But y'all, this is how sin functions in our life. This is what a calloused heart looks like. You know, sin builds layers upon our heart. And over time, we compromise, we resist, and we drift into disobedience. Our hearts can become hardened towards God. We don't feel God the way that we once did. Not because God has left the room, but because our hearts have changed. In 2 Chronicles, Asa, one of the things he begins to do to help the people move towards experiencing or encountering God is they have to remove the idols, tear down those altars. He does that, and then he calls the people to seek God. You see, sometimes the most spiritual thing that we can do in our life is to repent. To acknowledge our sin to God and ask God's forgiveness of it. We bring out of the darkness of our heart into the light of God's grace and we confess. We repent. We name it. We tell God that we're sorry. And we do that not so that we try to earn God's presence, but to remove the things in our life that block our awareness of it. So sometimes seeking God means we've got to deal with what is causing our hearts to be cold and hardened toward God. The last thing, third thing, is seeking God often grows strongest in seasons of longing. You know, in verse 4, there's a turning point in this chapter. And it says this, in their distress, the people began to cry out to God. You see, things got really tough for them. Life got hard. You see, and their distress is what drove them to seek God. Not comfort, not success, not ease, but hardship. Acts 17 says, this tells us this little story in there about how God has really sort of designed life to work that way. That God has arranged history so that people would seek Him and perhaps reach out and find Him. That's how God uses challenging circumstances in our life. You know, when you get hungry, what do? You go get some food, right? You seek out some food. Some of y'all are thinking, man, I need to get back to that table back there again. There was some good food back there today. That king cake, oh my gosh. I love Mardi Gras because of the king cake. But when we're hungry, we go looking for something to eat. When we're thirsty, we go to the well. We find something to drink. But when life is good, what do? We drift. But when life is hard, what do? We pray. God sometimes allows the feelings to fade so that we can pursue Him more deeply. Not to punish us, not to abandon us, but to mature us, to help us to grow in our faith. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." You see, God is not playing hide and seek with us, but He's calling us to look for Him, to seek Him. And here's the tension that we have to hold in place when we're seeking God, is that our feelings, they fluctuate. They come and go, don't they? But God's faithfulness, it does not. Sometimes I feel God's presence with me powerfully. I mean, I still do sometimes today when I pray and worship and study His Word. But there are other days when I don't feel much at all. But I've learned to trust God's promise. And His promise is this, I am with you always. And I trust in that. And strangely enough, learning to trust God beyond my emotions has allowed me to know His presence in deeper ways in my life. And it's a way that feelings alone could never teach me. So if today you don't feel God, I want you to first of all know that you're not alone. And that doesn't mean that God is absent. It doesn't mean that your faith is broken or that God is disappointed in you. It may mean that He is drawing you are inviting you to seek Him. It could be that God is wanting to draw you near. Will you keep trusting Him? Will you keep turning to Him? Because the Scripture is clear, those who seek the Lord, they will find Him. Let us pray. God, we ask that You would give us a greater awareness of Your presence. Reveal to us anything that may exist in our hearts that blocks intimacy with You. Lord, I pray that You would create and stir up a deeper hunger within our lives to seek You out. And Lord, for those today that have maybe been living in isolation, or maybe some here are even running from You, Lord, would You grab our attention today? Would You help us to understand just how much You love us? Help us to know how You have something better for us to experience in our life than whatever it is that may be holding us in bondage, whatever sin that we may be attracted to more than You. God, I pray that You would begin to soften us. And may You draw us closer to You. And Lord, I pray that You would help all of us here to trust You more deeply. That even when we don't feel You, even when it's not obvious to us, that we will trust that You are with us. And so in doing that, we find that our faith grows. And we are able to see You in ways that we've never seen You before. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining us in worship here this morning. It's been a delight to worship with you. And I want to send you out with this benediction from the book of Numbers in the Bible. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. May God bless you as you go forth today.